Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night to everybody who's listening. We know that everyone listens at very different times. Maybe you're trying to drift off to sleep. Maybe you're just woken up. Maybe you're taking the dog for a walk. Maybe you're doing the hoovering or the washing up or something else that's safe to do while you listen to us. We're so glad that you're here. We're so glad that we're here for another episode of this thing called a podcast, called a conversation, where we are delving into wondering about seeing what arises in the context of this relationship between you and I, Justin, but the context of us being held and listened to and supported and befriended by hundreds of people in the world who for whom this conversation appeals and is supportive or interesting or opening or soothing, goodness knows what people are receiving from us. But it's a real joy to be participating in this and to be in relationship with ones who we know and ones who we don't know and may never meet. But we'd love to hear from you and meet you if you ever want to email us. We're completely open to hearing from you and we love that. You can email us at hello@turningtowards.life anytime you like. And you're very welcome here. And Justin, it's very lovely to be with you in this particular episode with the wonderful Parker Palmer being with us.
Well, I'm so glad to be doing this, Lizzie. I want to just add, I had two thoughts whilst you were speaking. One is that this conversation that we're in, that this is the 415th one, so there's so many to go back to if you haven't heard them, is born of a bigger conversation that comes from this something that we set up called Third Space many years ago, Lizzie, in which we one of the things we do is teach stuff, and one of the things we teach is coaching. And just seems important to say that there's a connection. And if you that as you're listening, that piques your interest, you can go over to wearethirdspace.org and have a look around there. But the other two things I wanted to say is the other thing you can do at our website is support this project. And there's lots of ways of supporting it. But one way that people have been supporting it is to buy us a coffee. Metaphorically. And we had the most gorgeous message this week from someone. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You'll know who you are, who wrote to us to say, I was searching for something on a poem by David White. I came across the podcast. I had a listen and it was magical to listen to. And here I am. And then she offered us some support with some coffees. It's so generous and also really helps us do this. So thank you for doing that. And thank you to all of you who support us that way, or support us just by listening, or support us by being on the email list, or support this by sharing it with friends. We know that this conversation has the capacity to deeply touch people and reach people and be illuminating and helpful. And so I know, Lizzie, we're very dedicated. I was figuring out the other day, you and I have each spent probably 5 whole months of our life so far, like working full time to do that, to do this podcast, amongst all the other things. If you add it up over time, it's a big commitment. So it's lovely to be supported, and it's also very good to know that this spreads around. So turningtowards.life is the place to do all of that. I had a very funny experience because I have done a little bit of listening to us as I go to sleep, and I have to say that it's the weirdest experience, because usually what happens is I have a dream in which I can hear the podcast in which you're talking to me, Lizzie, and I wonder why you're talking to me in my dream, and then I'm talking to me in my dream, which is so confusing. Why am I talking to myself in this way? So I'm not gonna do that so much, actually. So we're gonna do the ordinary thing that we do, which is bring a source. This is some words from another person that then live as a sort of third participant. There's you, me, and this source, and the author of the source. And then, of course, there's more than three of us, Lizzie, in this conversation, because there's so many people alongside us. But for the sake of talking to you, it's you, me, and Parker Palmer this week. So this is from the ever wise, courageous, resolute, kind, and big-hearted Parker Palmer, who I think from our conversation before, Lizzie, I think I feel very confident in saying that we would both recommend to anyone to get into Parker's presence, listen to him, watch him, read him. He's a real, he's the kind of presence I think we really need in the world. and he's still in the world. He's in his 80s, and I'm so glad he's here. And this is from his book. I'm just looking behind me because I have to remember the title. It's called On the Brink of Everything, which is his reflections on being in the season of his life that he's in. It's wonderful. Goes like this. Take on big jobs worth doing. Jobs like the spread of love, peace, and justice. That means refusing to be seduced by our cultural obsession with being effective as measured by short-term results. Our heroes take on impossible jobs and stay with them for the long haul because they live by a standard that supersedes effectiveness. And the name of that standard is faithfulness. Faithfulness to your gifts, to the needs of the world, and to offering your gifts to whatever needs are within your reach. The tighter we cling to the norm of effectiveness, the smaller the tasks we'll take on because they're the only ones that get short-term results. Public education is a tragic example. We no longer care about educating children, a big job that's never done. We care only about getting kids to pass tests with measurable results, whether or not those tests measure what matters. In the process, we're crushing the spirits of a lot of good teachers and vulnerable kids, and there are millions of kids in this country, he's writing in the US, who long to be treasured, not measured. Care about being effective, of course, but care even more about being faithful, as countless teachers do, faithful to your calling and to the true needs of those entrusted to your care. You won't get the big jobs done in your lifetime. But if at the end of the road you can say, I was faithful, you can check out with a sense of satisfaction.
Thanks, Justin. So Parker Palmer says, take on big jobs worth doing. Jobs like the spread of love, peace, and justice. That means refusing to be seduced by our cultural obsession with being effective as measured by short-term results. Our heroes take on impossible jobs and stay with them for the long haul because they live by a standard that supersedes effectiveness. The name of that standard is faithfulness. Faithfulness to your gifts, to the needs of the world, and to offering your gifts to whatever needs are within your reach. The tighter we cling to the norm of effectiveness, the smaller the tasks we take on, because they are the only ones that get short-term results. Public education is a tragic example. We no longer care about educating children, a big job that's never done. We care only about getting kids to pass tests with measurable results, whether or not those tests measure what matters. In the process, we're crushing the spirits of a lot of good teachers and vulnerable kids. There are millions of kids in this country who long to be treasured, not measured. Care about being effective, of course, but care even more about being faithful, as countless teachers do, faithful to your calling and to the true needs of those entrusted to your care. You won't get the big jobs done in your lifetime. But if at the end of the road you can say, I was faithful, you can check out with a sense of satisfaction.
You've brought us this language of faithfulness so many times, Lizzie, as well. I know it's something that you have lots to say about, which is one of the reasons I was so delighted to find Parker also writing about it in this way. And, you know, the thought that I'm having as we begin is I've been thinking about this conversation, actually this very conversation that we're in that's 415 weeks long. And I've been thinking about the world. So what I know is if we wanted, every now and again, I still get the news in a printed publication, which I really like. Once a week, I get something which sort of got digest all the news. And every now and again, this week they did a podcast you should listen to. And I look at it and I think, oh, maybe we'll be in there. Of course, we're never not. We never are. And one of the things that I know about what it takes to, in the current world, to have a podcast spread very, very, very wide is you have to do things like have titles that are kind of clickbait, that get an instant emotional reaction. Like when you read it, you want to read it now. And then you have to do something in the first like 10 seconds that gets people in. Then you have to, and then you have to keep on throwing in things that will keep attention. You have to make it short. Or there is also a fashion for very, very, very long podcasts on the other end, but you have to be, you have all of those things apply. And if you do all of those things, you might have the various algorithms that are around push it in people's faces, because that's because they're designed that way too. And it's a, and we could do that. And it would be, I could feel how empty it would be to me and how it would be part of the part of this thing that Parker's talking about, which is one side of it is the value we put on short-term results, like show me you did the thing and you got the result quickly. But it's, I think it's the same phenomenon as the needing a hit of satisfaction or a kind of feeling of something got filled up in me, like a hole got filled, thank goodness. It's the same phenomenon, it's just the different side of it, like needing the hit of the quick fix. So of course we haven't done that. We're going slow, 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 faithful, faithful, faithful. And I can feel in myself, just in this conversation, what it is, one of the things that I get asked to do every time we meet and talk in this way is what's called on in me, I notice, is to be faithful, faithful to this conversation, which means faithful to the qualities and commitments of this conversation over the long term, being true and sensing and slowing down, faithful to my own gifts. Like part of my work here is to say what I can say and not try to be like you, Lizzie, and not try to say something that's going to get a particular, that you're going to like, or is going to evoke a particular kind of response in you. My job is to stay, like my commitment's probably better, what it was said, is to stay faithful to my calling, to the need of this. And I love this bit he says at the top, which I'm just scrolling up so I can see it. Faithfulness to our gifts, to the needs of the world. I know this conversation meets a need in the world. It starts with us, and to offering your gifts to whatever needs are within your reach. Now, I know that I too have places in my life where, first of all, where effectiveness is really important. Like it really does matter that when I'm washing the dishes, that I do wash the dishes and that they're clean and that they're done in time for the next meal. You know, like there's places where it matters. I also know there are places where I'm seduced by the myth that if I get it done now, that will be give me value. And if I didn't get it done, there's something wrong with me, that part. But what I know also alongside this is that Parker's words are true. That just from my own experience and then from watching people I love and admire, that if we are prepared to do, and it's quite courageous work of finding out what our gifts are and then staying to bring, not the ones that everyone else tells us they want, but more the people who'll tell us what they see as our unique capacities, dispositions, orientations, commitments, joys, loves. It is absolutely true that when we stay faithful to them, we may not get the 10 million viewers on YouTube, probably not actually. We may not climb the mountain of public success and fame, probably not, maybe, but probably not. But that's not the point of any of it, that there actually is something incredibly, genuinely important and deeply fulfilling about finding a way to bring this one that is a one-time event again and again and again in the truest way as an offering, like in service. I'm so with him. Because I know it's true. He's right on this.
Well, listening to you, Justin, and receiving Parker Palmer, who if people have been listening for a while or to particular episodes will know I'm like completely in love with Parker Palmer and who he is and what he brings and what he says. It's like deeply, deeply excellent to me. And I think the bit that's kind of discombobulating me in this is that when he says, the tighter we cling to effectivalists, the smaller task we'll take on because they're the only ones that get short-term results. That thing gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, if all I'm oriented towards is effectiveness, how small does my life stay and how much do I not even choose a challenging thing or a big thing that's unsolvable, which are probably the things that are needed most in the world right now, is the unsolvable things. So how this narrative of effectiveness smallens us and shrinks us is giving me this kind of feeling of oddness in me of like, oh gosh, we've all bought into this cultural narrative of efficiency and effectiveness at the expense of the things that actually really need us to turn towards them. So anyway, I'm feeling like a bit thrown by that and like it's true, can feel the truth in it. And I'm also feeling the kind of, I think you kind of talked about then, like the kind of the challenge of staying truthful to oneself and one's faithfulness to something complex. And it's not straightforward because the world doesn't go, oh, look, another person turning towards something really complex and trying to work it out. And how wonderful that they failed. How wonderful that they learned so many lessons from doing that. You know, we don't have that. We don't have the narrative of holding something complex and finding our way as a normal thing. So I feel like it is a challenge, you know, and he mentions this specific example of education. What a challenge it is to say, I don't want to just provide effectiveness training for my children. I want them to be treasured. Like as a parent, that's a challenge to be outside of that norm, to say, I want something different than my children being taught to do exams and get results. I want them to be taught in an environment where they get to become whoever these gifts are that you're talking about, Justin, that's what really is invited, nurtured, held as the faithful path, that belief that is what we all are, is a set of gifts and purposefulness that gets to emerge more and more as we grow. And it's challenging to step out of the bigger narratives, the cultural meta-narratives, the big stories that we feel like we have to live into for fear of social exclusion. But I also have real faith in our hearts going, there's something else, or no, or I've seen this thing and it appealed to me and I can't quite place it anywhere in my stories, but it means something to me. I'm going to have to look at it further. And those moments where maybe we see a child being crushed by a rule and we think, does that really have to happen? You know, we start questioning things. And the other thing about this effectiveness thing is that in some way, there's a kind of effectiveness and faith maybe are in opposition to each other somehow. In my experience of feeling myself as faithful, of course, many times efficiency takes over and that's all I can see. But lots of the time in my faithfulness, my wish to do something properly is much stronger than my wish to do something properly for the sake of effectiveness. To be really honest, effectiveness is not motivating for me. So when you say you do the washing up properly, because I mean, I'm not even sure I can count any times where I've done the washing up properly. I've either half finished it because somebody needs me or somebody wants something and that's more important than the washing up or whatever. And or I haven't really done it properly because I'm away thinking about something else in my mind that feels like a big mission or something. And so when I am on purpose, if you like, when I am being faithful, that efficiency suddenly comes to bear. And when I really care about something complex and big and hard, and I participate in it, I can see myself knowing that there's a place for efficiency and then that helps me be efficient. So I think what I'm saying is efficiency for the sake of being efficient feels very hollow. And yet when it's inside of something greater, I know exactly why I need to be efficient and I will be efficient. So I'm really curious in myself as I'm sitting here learning about me and this kind of path of complexity, feeling like it affords these kind of very worldly things to be stronger in me, because the for the sake of what, the reason I'm doing something is much bigger than the story of efficiency, but it gives me a reason as to why I should be efficient.
I think, Lizzie, that this conversation about for the sake of what is one of the most important conversations we can have about anything. Because exactly as you're saying, it would be a real mistake. We've so often talked about holding apparent opposites together. So I know Parker isn't doing this and we're not doing this, saying, well, efficiency bad. What does he call it? Effectiveness bad, faithfulness good. That would be a nightmare. Have all these faithful people who can't actually do anything, you know. So competence really matters, like being able to do things well that we care about. My goodness, it really matters. And what you're saying, what I hear and what you're saying is to do with the ordering, what serves what. So I think that when we serve, when what we're primarily doing is serving the norm of effectiveness that Parker talks about, we're not actually serving the norm of effectiveness. We're actually serving the norm of fitting in and being valued for the things which we have come to learn our culture values, which at this time in history looks like many times it's the short-term hit, the sort of the experience of, I did something, somebody told me I did it well, that thing. And that's not a big enough for the sake of what, to fulfill a life or to have us be this something that we really want to be, which is, as humans, to be deeply of service to one another. We want to take care of one another and be taken care of. It's also not big enough to do the important things that we know when we soften a little and we just get in contact with our own hearts, we know the things that really matter, that we create, we work towards the ever incomplete goals of love, peace, justice, dignity. I mean, it's actually not hard to list what those are. They come to us quite easily. So it's sort of also something to do with, do I limit my, if I'm prepared to ask for the sake of what, am I washing the dishes or completing this spreadsheet or teaching a child or parenting or loving a partner or, you know, could take anything that we do, painting this house. If we're prepared to be brave enough to ask, honestly, what for the sake of what am I doing this? Then is a chance for us to get our for the sakes of what in the right order and to be, allow ourselves to be dedicated over time to the things that we know bring about life and flourishing. And as you said, one of the things that's difficult about it is that those ones are never finished. They're always messy. No one knows how to do that. They are context dependent. They take time. They are complex and rich and deep. And we very often don't get, actually most often, we don't get that sort of immediate hit of, look at me. Like it's slow. Sometimes you and I were having a conversation before we came on. We were talking about parenting and parenting little ones and parenting young adults, which is, you know, what you're in and what I'm in. And we were talking about, in a way, how the work of parenting is an act of great faithfulness that is never done. And there's no one place to look at out from and go, yeah, we did it right. Because it's a long path in which we're playing our part. And I think Parker's work is important because I think one of the things that he is that he is a stand. He has a critique of our wider culture. You know, what he says is staying in the things that if we really let ourselves know matter, and dedicating our lives for the sake of that is uncertain, not going to get us quick recognition. We're never going to know that we've done it right. And he says it at the end, you won't get this done in your lifetime. You won't have the satisfaction of having finished the task of of love. It'll be unfinished. And there really is something to be said for asking ourselves that question. To what am I actually faithful? For the sake of what am I up to, what I'm up to? I think it's the essential human question. And if we'll stay with it, it can change not only what we dedicate ourselves to, but also how we dedicate ourselves to it. So like you were saying, sometimes our faithfulness calls us into doing something really well. But sometimes it's exactly the thing that makes us realize that the standards I have for washing the dishes are not as important right now as putting the dishes down in order to go and talk to somebody I love who's in difficulty. And the dishes can wait, or if they're a bit smeary, whatever it is, you know, it helps us order our commitments to the standards that really matter to us, get naturally ordered by that for the sake of which we're prepared to dedicate ourselves to.
Yeah, this is really beautiful to feel all of this and to look at, you know, I've actually been asking myself this question recently, just in like, what am I really loyal to? Like really, really. And if I haven't got a clear answer to that question, my decision making is very different than if I do. I can feel it. And sometimes I can really kind of put what I'm loyal to the side when I really shouldn't, because it leaves me kind of empty. Like, oh, well, I did that. And then because I wasn't really loyal to it, it didn't, you know, this word satisfaction that Parker Palmer brings at the end. I feel like loyalty and satisfaction and really examining what I'm loyal to are kind of very linked in this moment. And I'm really taken by wondering more and more what I'm loyal to. And I think this is this conversation. Because sometimes I really am loyal to something, like maybe it might not be effectiveness, but it might be some kind of short-term win, some kind of feeling happy or something. And actually there's something much bigger at play that I've put to the side that I kind of wish I hadn't when it comes to the question of satisfaction. So I'm in this sweet triangle of faithfulness, satisfaction, and loyalty, and feeling very, very curious about it. And I'm really grateful for that opening, Justin, and to feel this with you. And to also, inside of all of this, Justin, I've been really feeling a deep, heartfelt, kind of aching gratitude to those people who are this thing in my life. I'm really grateful to everyone who stands in their place and says, I'm doing this complex, long-term, unfinishable thing. And I'm keeping on, keeping on. And I wake up every day with a joy in my heart for the thing I'm supposed to be doing. And it's unquestionable. Those people exist around me. And I just kind of feel a heart swelling of gratitude for them.
Well, I'm left with this sense of, I think the last thing I'm left with is I would offer a different word to Parker from satisfaction, which is fulfillment. So satisfaction is a good word, but fulfillment, as I was listening to you, one of the things about dedicating ourselves, having our for the sake of what being the bright scale, is that we get filled up by life. It's a really different move to I got what I wanted, but it's more I made myself available and life came and filled me. And I think really one of the only ways to fulfillment is to be faithful to something big enough. And when I say big enough, I really don't mean, because it's easy to think that means if I join the right tribe or I join the right cause. But sometimes we can join a tribe or a cause and find ourselves dedicated to something that is not love or peace or justice, or whatever. So these are something beyond the human realms that we're dedicating ourselves to. And there is the opportunity to let ourselves be filled up by life rather than trying to fill the holes in us by meeting the short-term goals that Parker talks about. And it's... Yeah, it's a tender and special and joyful feeling to be in this conversation about it.
Thank you so much, Justin, for this time and this conversation. I'm so appreciative. Thank you, Parker, if you ever got to listen to us, if you ever hear us. And thank you, everybody, for being with us. And we'll be back next week for another source chosen by me. Who knows, it might be on loyalty, satisfaction, and faithfulness.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. See you soon.